From the farm to our tables, there's an enormous amount of energy that goes into growing, transporting, processing, and eventually preparing our food, up to a fifth of our nation's total energy use. Our Inside Energy Project is teaming up with Harvest Public Media on a series for this holiday season. We're calling it Feasting on Fuel. In this first story, Wyoming Public Radio's Energy and Natural Resources reporter Stephanie Joyce reports the energy inputs into our food are often hidden.
There are few places where the connection between energy and food is more obvious than at the Bright Agrotech warehouse in Laramie. Most of the building is filled floor to ceiling with giant shelves, cardboard boxes, and tubing, equipment Bright Agrotech sells to farmers. But in one corner of the warehouse, there's a small farm, rows and rows of greens and herbs growing in white vertical towers under dozens of bright LEDs. The hum of electricity is palpable.
We're always thinking about energy because it costs us money.
That's Bright Agrotech CEO Nate Story. Conventional farmers also pay for energy, for fuel to run their tractors, electricity for irrigation, and fertilizers made from natural gas. But the energy inputs are more quantifiable here in this brightly lit warehouse. Electricity comes in, food goes out.
Food is energy. It's just converted into a different form. I mean, when we eat a salad, we're consuming diesel, and we're consuming electricity, and we're consuming, you know, nuclear energy. It's an energy industry.
In the case of Bright Agrotech, because most of Wyoming's electricity comes from coal-fired power plants, the kale and microgreens and edible flowers are largely a coal derivative.
Can I have one of these nasturtiums?
Yeah, they might have gotten, oh, there's a couple there that aren't, they're opening.
They're opening.
Still good.
Electricity nasturtium.
Burning coal to grow flowers like nasturtiums isn't as clean and green as Story would like it to be. But if food can be grown indoors in places like Wyoming and Colorado, the energy used for lighting is at least partly offset by the shorter distances the food has to travel. Story points out fossil fuels are hidden throughout the food supply chain, from the trucks that carry produce thousands of miles across the country to the plastic packaging in refrigerated coolers in the grocery store.
We've got this incredibly huge industrial complex surrounding the production of the things that we eat.
Huge and growing. One of the few studies to look at all the energy inputs into our food system shows between 1997 and 2002, food-related energy consumption grew six times faster than overall energy consumption. Pat Canning is an economist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture who co-wrote the study. He says most of that growth didn't happen on farms, indoors or out, but rather in the steps in between the farm and your dinner plate, in places like food processing. Take those bags of salad greens that have overtaken the produce aisle.
Instead of, for example, buying a head of lettuce, taking it home, cleaning it, cutting it, you're paying processors to cut it, to clean it, to bag it, and then all you have to do is open it, put it in a bowl, and eat it.
In effect, taking human labor and replacing it with fossil fuels. And the biggest food energy consumer of all? That's right, our kitchens.
Really, each home kitchen is a small restaurant with a very specific clientele.
On this particular evening, I'm making pasta. The tomatoes and basil and oregano are homegrown. But the sausage and noodles started as chickens and grain on farms far away, trucked for processing, then to the store refrigerator, then my refrigerator. In addition to my refrigerator, I have a stove, an oven, a microwave, a blender, an extra freezer, an indoor grill. All of these appliances, they add up. Estimates vary, but somewhere around a third of all the energy that goes into producing food is consumed right here in our home kitchens, hiding in plain sight. For Inside Energy, I'm Stephanie Joyce.